Welcome to the ageturners.com podcast, a podcast provided to help you be a part of the generation that ends this age. In this installment, Brother Ricky Acosta shows us that effective gospel preaching depends on effective prayer and gives us five principles of effective prayer.
I hope that you have been enjoying our Brother Tom's fellowship over the last several weeks concerning this matter of being the seeds of the gospel. And I hope that you have begun to put into practice many of the things that our brother has fellowshiped with us. And I especially hope that by now you have compiled a list of your friends and classmates and relatives and have begun to pray for them. One very big key that we have to take care of in the matter of gospel preaching is the matter of our prayer. Our prayers must be effective in order for our gospel preaching to be effective. In James 5:16, it says, "The petition of a righteous man avails much in its working." This could also be translated in this way: the petition or the prayer of a righteous man is very effective. You know, brothers and sisters, it's possible for us to pray many prayers, even in the area of the gospel, but for those prayers not to have any effect. If we really want to see our friends come to the Lord to be saved and for them to experience a dynamic salvation, we must have prayers that are effective. And that is our burden for today, to touch the principles of effective prayer. In general, there are two big categories of prayer, or two aspects of prayer. The first is the prayer of fellowship, and the second is the prayer of petition, or the prayer of specific asking. The first aspect, the prayer of fellowship, is prayer that causes us to be filled with God and allows God to flow out of us. We touched this matter of the prayer for fellowship in the previous podcasts. But I'd like to read a brief excerpt of a message by Brother Watchman Nee entitled, "Come Forward to the Throne of Grace," as he touches this subject of the prayer of fellowship. He writes, "The significance of the first aspect of prayer is that we use our spirit to contact God and to absorb God and to have our entire being brought back to our spirit to have fellowship with Him. When we contact God, absorb God, and have fellowship with God in this way, God has the opportunity to reveal Himself to us and to infuse Himself into us. As God flows Himself into us in this way, our mind, emotion, and will are gradually mingled with God. As a result, God can open His heart's desire to us, causing us to apprehend His purpose." As I mentioned, we dwelt on this matter of the prayer of fellowship in a number of weeks in previous podcasts, and I hope that you are still endeavoring to practice every day to spend a set time with the Lord in a set place, to have a deeper fellowship with Him, allowing Him to make home His home in your heart every day. Today, we'd like to dwell more on the second aspect of prayer, and that is the prayer of petition. But before getting into those specific principles, I'd like to read a brief testimony by Brother Nee that is also found in this message entitled "Coming Forward to the Throne of Grace." Here he writes, "After becoming a Christian, I spontaneously had a desire to bring others to Christ. But after a year of witnessing and bearing testimony to my schoolmates, there was no visible result. I thought that more words and more reasons would be effective, but my testimony did not seem to have a powerful effect on others. Sometime later, I met a Western missionary, Miss Gross, who asked me how many persons had been saved through me during that first year. I bowed my head and shamefully confessed that despite my attempts to preach the gospel to my schoolmates, no one had responded. She said to me, frankly, that there was something between the Lord and me hindering my effectiveness. Perhaps it was hidden sin or debts or some such matter. I admitted that such things did exist. She asked me if I were willing to settle them right away. I agreed. Then she asked me how I made my witness, and I told her that I chose people at random and spoke to them about the Lord, regardless of whether they showed any interest. At this she replied that I ought rather to make a list and pray for my friends first, then wait for God's opportunity to talk to them. Immediately, I started putting right the matters that were hindering my effectiveness and also made a list of 70 friends to pray for daily. Some days, I would pray for them every hour, even in class. When the opportunity came, I would try to persuade them to believe in the Lord Jesus. My schoolmates often said jokingly, "Mr. Preacher is coming. Let's listen to his preaching." Although, in fact, they had no intention of listening. I reported my failure to Sister Gross, and she persuaded me to continue praying until some were saved. With the Lord's grace, I continued to pray daily, and after several months, all but one of the 70 persons were saved. Isn't that an encouraging testimony, brothers and sisters? You know, 1 Timothy chapter 2 says that God desires all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. God does desire that our friends, that your friends would be saved, that your cousins would be saved, that your classmates would be saved. A big key is, are we praying effective prayers? There might be some hindrance to the effectiveness of our prayers. So we have to be so willing so that the Lord could remove any kind of hindrance so that firstly our prayers could be effective and then our preaching could be effective. Today I'd like to touch on five principles of effective prayer. We will just mention them briefly and then develop them more in the weeks to come. The first is that we have to pray specifically. In James chapter 4, verse 2, the Lord says very simply, "You do not have because you do not ask." We have to ask, and we have to ask specifically for certain ones. To just pray, "Lord, save my school," this is a general prayer. We have to pray specifically for some names, for some persons. Have you made a list? I hope by now you have. If you haven't, then I hope today you will consider before the Lord your friends, classmates, neighbors, relatives, your cousins, those that you love and spend time with. If any of them are not saved yet, I hope you would make a list of these names and then begin to petition for them, to ask for them. "Lord, I want this one to be saved. Lord, I want that one to be saved." The Lord promises us in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened." So we want to be those who ask, seek, and knock for the salvation of our friends and relatives. The second principle is that we have to ask not amiss. That is, ask not in a self-centered way. We get this from James 4:3 that says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask evilly, that you may spend it on your pleasures." We should ask specifically, but we should not ask for things in a self-centered way. When we pray for the gospel, of course, most likely this kind of prayer is not amiss. This kind of prayer is not something self-centered. So to pray for the gospel, is a safe way to not ask amiss. The third principle is very important. And this principle has to do with the dealing with our sins. We have to confess all our sins in order to have effective prayer. Psalm 66:18 says, "If I regarded iniquity in my heart, the Lord did not hear." If, brothers and sisters, as we're praying a specific prayer, and it's not for ourselves, it's for the gospel, we're praying for our friend or our cousin to be saved, but there is sin still in our heart, unconfessed sins, then the Lord did not hear that prayer. That prayer is not effective. So we have to confess our sins so that there could be the freedom for the Lord to answer our prayers. The fourth principle, or the fourth point, is that we have to believe. In Mark 11:24, it says, "For this reason I say to you, all things that you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and you will have them." Have you ever prayed for something, and even as you're praying, you realize that you really don't believe the Lord is going to answer your prayer? Oh, brothers and sisters, this shows that we have an evil heart of unbelief, and we have to confess this before the Lord. No doubt if we pray prayers like this, they will not be effective, and they will not be answered. We have to pray until we pray ourselves into the Lord, and we pray ourselves into a heart of faith so that we can pray prayers of faith. It's possible to pray a kind of prayer that we are so filled with faith that we even begin to praise the Lord for what He has done, even though we have not yet seen the result. Our prayers are actually turned into praise. The fifth principle is that we have to ask steadfastly. That is, with endurance. In Luke 18:1, it says that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Sometimes we can pray, and we're praying for even a number of months, even a number of years for someone, and they're not saved yet. We shouldn't give up. We should pray and not lose heart. Concerning this point, Brother Nee writes, "The characteristic of some prayer is that you have to pray steadfastly till the Lord is seemingly so bothered that He has no choice but to listen to you. This faith is different from others. This is my believing. I just pray steadfastly until one day God cannot but do it. I do not care whether there is a promise or not. I would pray till God has no choice but to do it. I would finish praying for everything in my book every day." I hope that you would start right away to put these five principles into practice. And I believe as you do, you will start to see some effect in your prayers. O Lord, grant us the effective prayers that would give you the ground to move and to save our friends. You know, brothers and sisters, all our prayers have two ends. One is the end of the one we're praying for. The other is our end. And sometimes, before we see the other end change, we need to change. Our end needs to change. May we have the grace to go to the Lord and to ask Him in His light, "Lord, what kind of change do I need? Even in for my prayers to be effective, have Your way in me, gain ground in me, and show me, Lord, so that I could be more one with You in this labor." Well, that's all for today. Please visit our website at ageturners.com. Or if you'd like to give us some feedback or share with us some of your testimonies, email us at feedback@ageturners.com. Lord Jesus, we love You. Make Your home in our hearts a little bit more today. For ageturners.com, this is Ricky Acosta.